Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, welcome. I hope that you are doing amazing here today. We have what I believe is going to be a wonderful show. Of course, I think all my shows are wonderful. But this one is going to be even more so. And boy, what a crazy week we have been under. Well, first, the Seahawks lose in overtime, so that's emotionally draining. And then we get a Supreme Court nomination actually confirmed and voted in. So that was exhilarating. And now we have a little thing called an election coming up for the rest of this week. And so so that's really going to be the discussion of our show today. And I am thrilled to have with us today our Republican governor nominee for to come into the governorship, which is Lauren Culp on the show. So, Lauren, welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, and I am just excited to have you here today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, Paul.
Yes, sir. Well, let's get into it because time is short. We only have another 6 days or so until next Tuesday, and we need to get a little more message out for you. And so I'm really happy that this can be a platform today so that we can get your voice over to the votes that actually really matter, the people who would line up with you. And so, you know, first of all, just tell us why is this race so important to you? So why did you throw your hat in to become the governor of Washington State?
Well, that's an interesting story, Paul. And, you know, I didn't grow up wishing or thinking someday, you know, I want to be a politician. I guess some people, that's their childhood dream, but mine was to be a police officer. And, you know, I've served in the military, lived in Washington State all my life, served in the United States Army, ran my own business for over 20 years, and I've been in law enforcement for the last 10. I realized my childhood dream at the age of 49, believe it or not, and became a police officer. But some events started happening in my life, you know, not by my planning, not by my design. They just started happening, and it led me down the road to being the one that's going to unseat Jay Inslee and bring back some common sense to Washington. And that started in 2018, back when that we had an anti-gun initiative that passed in the state.
Yes.
It made it against the law for, you know, military-age young adults. They couldn't buy a semi-automatic rifle or leave their property with one if they already had it. And, you know, not only that, but it made potential felons out of otherwise law-abiding citizens. If a criminal broke into your home, stole a firearm, went out and committed a crime with that, you could be charged with up to a felony as the homeowner.
Right.
And so I knew that that was bad law. I knew it was unconstitutional, and, you know, and I swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And I take my oaths very seriously. You know, when I make a promise, it's a promise, and I uphold it. So everybody knows what the Second Amendment says, but Washington State's even more explicit when it comes to citizens' rights. And in Article 1, Section 24, it says that the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired. And so I knew that I couldn't violate my oath of office. I couldn't violate citizens' constitutional rights. So the day after that passed, I said that I was not going to start arresting 18 to 21-year-olds who I saw with a semi-automatic rifle. And that got me on the national news. You know, this is the beginning of these series of events that happened. I didn't expect anything like that. I just put a message out on our department Facebook page to the citizens that I work for, that I was going to, you know, uphold their constitutional rights. And got me on the national news. I was on Fox and Friends. I was on the Daily Ledger. I was on the Tucker Carlson Show talking about citizens' rights. And I ended up doing hundreds of radio and newspaper interviews all across the United States. Because apparently it's an anomaly when a public servant it says they're going to uphold their oath of office.
Yeah, kind of an amazing thing, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And so with the all that attention, and then the lack of response from the majority of other police chiefs and sheriffs all across the state. I mean, there were a few at first, but for the most part, it was silence. And I thought, well, what in the heck is going on? Why are these other police executives not standing up for their citizens' rights and coming out and saying something? And I know there was a lot of fear there, but we're all pretty much a product of the public school system, right? And that they don't teach us about the duty of public servants and the rights of citizens. We don't. I didn't remember learning anything about the Washington State Constitution School, which I'm hopeful to change here pretty quick.
That would be great.
That led me. Yeah, I knew I needed to get that information out there, you know, for the other chiefs and sheriffs to know by what authority I stood up for citizens' rights, so that they could, too, and to get the information out to citizens so they could put pressure on their public servants to stand up. And so in the month of December of 2018, I wrote a book called American Cop, and that quickly went to number one on Amazon in multiple categories. It was the number one best-selling book for weeks, and that led me to being invited around the state to Republican Party Lincoln Day dinners as a speaker, and sportsman shows and gun shows, and speaking to citizens every weekend through the spring and into summer of 2019. I was going somewhere in this state speaking to citizens groups about our rights, responsibilities, and the Constitution. And that led to people asking me to run for governor. And as it went into the summer, more and more people all over the state were asking me if I would do that. And so that's what led me down this road. And I talked to Barb, my wife of 43 years, in July. And with our two grown sons and seven grandkids that live in this state, and all these people asking me the same thing, I couldn't not do it. You know, I felt I had to jump in with both feet and help to turn the state around. So
yeah,
that's what led me down this road.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you for answering the call. Like you said, it may have not been on your radar several years ago, but it's amazing how things begin to develop and take you into a new place that you may have never really anticipated. So again, thanks for answering that call to step up and be that common sense approach. Now, you know, it's not just one issue that Washington State needs a common sense approach and a strong voice in. It's multiple areas. It's in taxing. It's in housing. It's in finances. It's in families being put together. It's education, like what you said. You know, there's so many different areas that you may have to watch over for us. What are some of the things, or maybe there's just one or two things that are really close to your heart that as you've entered into this journey, you say, you know, this has really become the bullseye of what I want to bring to Washington. What are a couple of those things? What are a couple of those passions that have developed over the past couple of years for you that you would say, this is what I want to change in Washington State?
Well, there's so many things, Paul, but one thing that encompasses everything is returning individual freedom and liberty back to the citizens of Washington State. You know, getting this government under control so it's not taxing us to death and it's not regulating us to death. But one of the, you know, to get into a little bit more specifics, one of the biggest things that I know as a police officer for the last 10 years in a small town that we've dealt with is people on the streets, you know, people in addiction, people with mental health problems.
Yes.
And this state is just basically throwing money at the problem to say that they're doing something, but they're really not. We're just wasting millions and millions of taxpayer dollars on those two issues. And, you know, you hear politicians and people on the news media talking about the homeless crisis. But in my announcement speech in July, when I first decided to run, I talked about that issue. But I didn't call it a homeless crisis because it's not all about homes. It's mostly about an addiction and a mental health crisis.
Yes.
That we're facing. And even though they're throwing billions of dollars at this problem, it's getting worse and worse. And it's because they are allowing bad behavior. And when you do that, you get more and more bad behavior. When I was I was a narcotics detective for about 3 years, and I worked with the North Central Washington Narcotics Task Force, a multiple jurisdiction task force. And we had a zero tolerance policy. You know, if someone had residue of heroin in a baggie, that's a felony in Washington. And we would arrest them, they'd go to jail, they'd see the judge, and they would get a choice. They could go through treatment, or they could go to prison. And most of them chose treatment. And then a funny thing started happening down the road. You know, they would start getting their life together, they would get their head clear, they'd get a job, they'd get their kids back, and then they'd come back and they'd give me a hug and thank me for saving their life.
Yeah.
But if you go to places like King County or Seattle, the police will not arrest you for possession of heroin or meth because the far-left prosecutors won't prosecute those crimes because they say that it's not compassionate to put an addict in jail. But I have found exactly the opposite to be true. It takes that tough love, you know, to get them down that path. You can't just wake up one day and say, well, I'm not going to do heroin anymore. You know, people make bad choices and they get stuck in that cycle of addiction. And the left wants to just leave them on the street, leave them alone, stuck in that cycle of addiction. But that is not compassion at all.
It is not.
It's been one of the greatest feelings in my life to have someone who, when they got arrested, they hated my guts. I was the worst thing that ever happened to them. But down the road, they come back and they're so thankful and, you know, want to give me a hug. It's amazing. And we can't leave people stuck in squalor, in the filth. We can't have our parks with dirty needles and feces on the sidewalks and all the garbage in tent encampments. That's not compassionate. We need to show a little bit of tough love and help those people get headed down the right path. And the same with mental health. You know, our current governor lost certification to Western State Hospital, one of the largest facilities in our state for people with mental health problems. And when someone tries to kill themselves, obviously they need mental health, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
So the police show up, and just one instance that happened here recently, and these happen all the time. I've dealt with this a lot, and it's done every single day, every single night, all across the state by different agencies. But I had some kids call 911 because their mom was trying to kill herself. She had put a vent hose over the exhaust pipe of her car, ran it in the back window, and started the car. I showed up. I got her out of the car, got her to the hospital to get her help. And she met with the first level mental health counselor. And then that person, the mental health counselor, calls around the state to try to find a bed for a higher level of care. And 9 times out of 10, they cannot find a bed for that person.
Right.
And they're just released back out on the street. And that falls right at the feet of our current governor, along with the drug problem. This cannot continue.
Yeah,
this is not compassion. This is not helping people. It's just wasting taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, and for all the money that is thrown at the issue is only becoming worse and worse. And so how do we not have the appropriate assistance for individuals with all the money that we are throwing at them?
The reason that it's not getting fixed, Paul, is because, well, I call it the homeless industrial complex. Because, like we just said, we're spending millions and billions of dollars on these problems, and it's money is being sent to facilities and groups, mostly in the Seattle area, that are studying this to death. That's what they spend the money on, and they don't get results. It's a way for politicians to get money into the hands of their supporters and their friends and businesses that support them, and they turn right around and make big donations back to the Democrat Party, JNC's campaign, and other far-left candidates. That's why it's not getting fixed.
Well, we are on the show today. It's a little bit different. We're not talking about the legacy or legal issues in estate planning, but we have the privilege of being on the phone today with our Republican governor candidate, Lauren Culp. And we're up against a break here for a moment, but we'll be right back with more. If there's information that you would like to know about what the show usually is, which is legacy and faith issues, then head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up for in January. And so we're going to head into a break right now, and we will be right back with more from Lauren Culp on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared and managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back to the Legacy and Faith Show. We are on with Lauren Culp today. And as a matter of fact, Lauren, why don't you take a quick moment? And if people had questions, if they need some more information on you, where do they go to get this pivotal information at this time and at this moment?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got a website. It's culpforgovernor.com. And that's all spelled out. For is F-O-R. culpforgovernor.com. And we're also on Facebook at Culp for Governor, and YouTube as well. People can go on there and see where I stand on different subjects. And, you know, on our website, I've got a lot of the problems that we're facing in this state listed on there, along with the solutions to those problems. And they're just common sense solutions. But that's how people can see where I stand. They can watch videos on YouTube at Culp for Governor.
Very good.
And read up on it.
Well, now, I've looked at many things on you, and I know that you are a man of faith as well, that has been a driving force in your life. And, of course, we're on a Christian radio station. So how has your faith over these months, over this past year, past couple years of the journey that you've been on, how has that really made a difference for you as you take your next step in what really what God has opened up for you to walk in?
Well, absolutely. My faith is very important to me and my family. I was raised in a Christian home and raised my boys the same. And Barb and I have continued in that. It's very important. You know, I know that God has a plan and things work out the way that God wants them, whether we'd like it or not sometimes. You know, we can't see what's in the future, but just knowing that God is in charge of what's going on, it brings a calm, you know?
Yes, it does.
Definitely.
Well, it'll be an amazing opportunity to have a man of faith at the helm of Washington State, let me tell you that. And just knowing that you have a passion and a desire to submit yourself to a higher authority, to gain his wisdom and taking the steps that you would need to lead this amazing state. And, you know, I look at Isaiah 10, and in Isaiah 10, there's actually a warning to Israel. And there is a warning that not allowing judgment and laws and issuing oppressive decrees. So there is a warning in the Bible towards Israel that says, do not pass oppressive decrees. And, you know, this pandemic really brings out true colors, doesn't it? And there has been a response from our current governor that has highlighted exactly who he is. And it has been a myriad of oppressive decree after oppressive decree. As a matter of fact, in April, we were one of 10 states in the entire union that did not have something specifically carved out in the stay-at-home order for religious organizations. So imagine that. We have a stay-at-home order, but Governor Inslee decided to be perfectly silent as it relates to churches. Nowadays, He has begun to move the needle a little bit in his stage two, to where churches can have up to 200 people, but no more than 25% capacity, whereas restaurants can have 50% capacity. And there's no limitation on grocery stores or other service entities. And so at the hand of one man, there has been a determination of what matters and what doesn't. And I believe that it is with extraordinary intentionality that he has determined that places of worship do not matter, and that there has been a large disparity towards people of faith in Washington state. So that kind of leads me into, Lauren, the discussion of we're still in this, and what would you have on your radar in making fine-tune adjustments with this current COVID crisis? And as a matter of fact, not only how do you see that, how would you manage this? But it is that there is a certain people group that are more susceptible, and I deal with a lot of them in estate planning. Actually, I deal with a much older clientele, so safety is a big deal for specifically individuals who are more susceptible than others. What does it look like to have Lauren in the governor's mansion managing our current COVID crisis?
Well, I understand that we do not get our rights from government. The Constitution doesn't give us our rights. The government doesn't give us our rights. Our rights come from our Creator. It says that right in the Declaration of Independence. And governments are instituted to protect those rights. It says that right in the first thing that the founders of Washington State wrote in the state constitution, in Article 1, Section 1. It says that the power is inherent in the people, and government is there to protect their rights. So I understand the servant role of government, not as our master, not as our boss, you know, not someone that's going to tell us we're going to not go to church, but we can go to an abortion clinic and have an abortion. Or we can go to a marijuana store and buy marijuana. That's how he set it up. That's the very first thing. Shut down everything except abortion clinics, pot stores, and big box stores.
Yeah.
And so I understand that servant role.
And that is such a beautiful point, because government is really intended to serve the people. And this governor has made the people a slave to his orders. He has fully and absolutely reversed a biblical model of what government's role is supposed to be, and it has eliminated really the freedoms that you are trying to protect for Washington. And so as you look at this, what are some of the things that you'll begin to implement to maybe fine-tune and correct how Washington State has managed this current crisis?
Right. And I've said all along that, you know, when I'm governor, I'm sure that there will be more viruses. But let me back up just a second. As soon as I take the oath of office as governor, I will sign an executive order eliminating any restrictions that the current governor has on citizens of Washington State. We know how to run our businesses. We know how to keep our families and our business safe. We don't need a nanny in the governor's office. We don't work for the governor. The governor works for the people. He's a public servant. So that's the first thing. We will lift all restrictions and let citizens get back to running their life, right? I'm not running to be the leader of your life or anyone's life. I'm not running to be the leader of your business or your family. I'm running to be the leader of the executive branch of the state government and let you be the leader of your family, your business, and your children. And what you do.
Well, that'll also turn on the economy for Washington State as well, because there's a lot of people who are struggling in Washington. There's people who've lost their jobs, whose income has dramatically dropped. There's food scarcity is on the rise for many people. And so really, by that one act, it would really start opening up the Washington State economy to become its free enterprise that it's supposed to be anyway.
Absolutely. And we will return our God-given freedoms back to the citizens of Washington State. But if another virus comes around, I will have press conferences with medical professionals, real doctors, not political appointees, to explain to the citizens what's going on, what we should do to protect ourselves and our family, what might happen if we don't follow the medical advice, and then as governor, make sure the supply chain is as open as possible for any equipment that we need. And then I will let free individual citizens decide what's best for themselves, their family, and their business, because that's how you be the governor over free Americans. And that's what we all are.
Yes, sir. So we only have about a minute left here. And I just want to turn over the floor to you. And what would you say as we walk into these last 6 days? If there's people on the fence, if there's someone who hasn't voted yet, we got about 45 seconds to give you the floor, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, if to those people that have not made up their mind yet, hopefully this discussion changed your mind. If you still need more information, check out my website, cultforgovernor.com. Look at my videos on YouTube. A lot of them are broken down by subject matter at Cult for Governor. You can just do a search and find it. But I'm looking forward to leading Washington's comeback. I'm looking forward to sending common sense to Olympia and getting this government off of our back, lowering the taxes, lowering regulations, which I can do right off the bat because it doesn't take legislative approval to reduce Washington Administrative Code, which is strangling our businesses and our families and our farmers, and just returning individual freedom and liberty to this state that I grew up in, that I've lived in my entire life. I served in the military, ran my own business for 20 years. I've been in law enforcement for 10. I know how to fix these things, and I will appoint people to department heads that have that same mindset. And I want to thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to the Legacy and Faith Show today. And I will back that up and say this matters. This matters deeply. And as a matter of fact, statistically, Lauren, you're closing this gap. I would encourage people, don't look at the polls, whether it's for the national issues, states issues. Go out, take your God-given right in hand, get out and vote this week, make a difference. And as specifically as Christians, we need to have our voices heard. So, Lauren, thank you so much for being on our show today. If you have listeners, if you want more information with Lauren, he gave you the website to go to. If you want more information about the Legacy and Faith Show, then head over to legacyandfaith.com. Thank you again, Lauren, for jumping on with us. Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.